Thank you, ladies. The pastor called me this morning. He warned me that I wouldn't have much time. Now, I wonder how he knew that, Mrs. Knipple. When you brought that big book up here, I was really concerned. I thought maybe you brought up here to stand on, but you're not that short, so. Well, we do need to pray for our pastor. I trust that you are doing that. And we probably need to pray for his wife. I told her that I was going to give her more rope so we could tie him in bed so he'll get well. trying to keep a good man down sometimes is difficult. And thinking about praying about what we would talk about or speak about tonight, I decided that since it's prayer meeting that I would share with you some things that have been a help to me. And actually, that's always the way I preach. I always try to give folks things God has given me that have been a blessing to me. I figure if I need it, maybe you do too. And often it's some instruction. And since tonight is prayer meeting, I thought we would look at some ideas about how to pray for our missionaries. I know that sometimes we forget our missionaries who are across the ocean and around the world down the road at Camp Joy and the missionaries in our own church. And really, I think these principles and these ideas that we're going to look at in Scripture tonight really does, I think, can be a help to us as we consider the needs of those who are what we would call in full-time Christian work. Certainly, obviously, our pastor and our pastoral staff, our teachers, all of those would fall into the category of those that we need to be upholding in prayer. But I think in order to really get an idea of some specifics with respect to how we can focus in our prayer life in praying for those that are in the ministry, that are serving I'm going to take our message from the life of Paul, and really we're going to look tonight at his appeals to the churches for prayer. And I think as we look at these appeals for prayer, we can discern that, these are the needs of our missionaries. These are the needs of those that are out there on the front line, so to speak. And I think sometimes we overlook the fact that those that are in the ministry full-time they're kind of the center of the bullseye as far as the devil's concerned. If Satan can take them down, so to speak, he takes down ministries that they're a part of. And Pastor Reuben Kyle, who was my pastor for a while there at Keller Moraine, and a dear saint of the Lord, used to tell me, he says, sometimes, Brother Hatchett, I feel like the devil's just sitting on my chest and screaming in my face. And Pastor Kyle was a real prayer warrior. And I think certainly those of us and those that are seriously trying to live for God are going to be aware, and I trust that you are in that category. But I'll tell you, once you step into the arena of really determined that you're going to live for God, you're going to find there's a real devil. The Bible clearly says that all who live righteously will suffer persecution. And certainly those in the ministry are missionaries, and I want to address specifically tonight them, think specifically to them, as we look at these different passages. I want to start with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, or verse 25. This is Paul's first appeal for prayer to the churches. The book of Thessalonians was his first epistle. Although it's not listed first in the scriptures with respect to the order, but literally from a time standpoint, Thessalonians was his first letter that we have preserved for us in the scriptures. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25, Paul makes this statement. Brethren, pray for us. I think that is probably the cry of every one of our missionaries. Brethren, pray for us. There is a plea here that Paul is sending out to the churches. And Paul, can you sense in that statement that Paul is pleading with the churches that they would keep him before the throne of grace? I think I can hear our missionaries from time to time saying to us, brethren, pray for us. Do you even know we're here? Paul must have felt that way. You know, Paul went through quite a few trials. And there are times where I'm sure in the midst of those trials, Paul must have said, is anybody out there praying? Is there anybody out there that even knows that I exist? And I think I hear, at least in this statement, Paul, I hear that plea. Then notice in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, he says, pray without ceasing. Now, I used to think, and maybe some people do teach this, that you're supposed to always be in a state of prayer. And I think certainly that is something we should strive to. Our attitude and our spirit ought to always be one that is looking to God and to praying. But I really think what is being said here is don't quit praying. Don't quit praying. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying for me. Paul is appealing for prayer. He's saying, brethren, pray for us. Don't stop praying. Don't forget to pray. Don't quit holding me up before the throne of grace. And I think that, I'm sure that every one of our teachers and our pastor and all of our missionaries feel that way at times. They say, don't stop praying. We need your prayers. I know Camp Joy needs your prayers. I could spend the evening just sharing with you needs in that respect. I've often said, in some ways it's good you have the trials because you know the devil cares. You know that he cares. And we know that our hope is in the Lord and it's not in our own strength. Sometimes I know at times you think, well, I have to do this. No, God's going to do it or it's not going to get done. But Paul is appealing to prayer for prayer, and then he is praying that we don't quit praying. Then notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. He's going to tell us specifically some things to pray for. Excuse me, I said first, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Specifically, he has some requests with respect to how he desires that we pray. And I believe that this would apply to our missionaries again. I believe this would apply to those who are preaching the gospel, who are witnessing. I think we need to pray for each other in this regard as we testify and as we witness. Notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Paul says, look, pray that, number one, that we will have liberty or free course, that we'll have freedom to preach the gospel, and that the gospel, as we preach it, will bring forth glory to God in that people will get saved. Now, certainly that's the way we ought to pray for our missionaries, don't you think? We ought to pray that they have free course, that the word of the Lord has free course. There's not a hindrance. That is, the word of God goes out, it's not hindered, but it would bring back glory to Christ. And that He's saying here that he'd be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Let me tell you, there are unreasonable and wicked men out there. And they desire, those unreasonable and wicked men desire to hinder the ministry of the Word of God. Our missionaries are confronted with that. I keep up with, I trust you do, the missionaries, our missionaries that send out email requests, and I often think of this Muslim girl that's living in the Raines home. I'll guarantee you that there's some danger that goes with that. I hear from time to time or see from time to time in their emails, they just killed another cobra in their yard out where the kids are playing. You know what? We need to pray for our missionaries. We need to pray for our pastor. Our pastor has pneumonia. And we need to hold him up in prayer. But we need to pray that God's work won't be hindered by unreasonable and wicked men. Our nation, the prayer request, Brother Mark, asked us to pray for our country tonight. That's a great prayer request. We need to pray that unreasonable and wicked men who are in high places do not hinder the work of God and do not hinder the testimony of God that this church and other churches like it desire to give out. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. And I'm going to rush through these because I do want us to get into preaching or to prayer time so that we can practice some of what we're being preached to by Paul here. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Paul is saying here, you know what? Don't send up wimpy prayers. He's saying, I want you to strive together with me. Paul is indicating here that he wants the church to become a partner in the struggles of the ministry. And I think we need to have that attitude with respect to our missionaries. We need to become partners with them in the struggles of the ministries that they have. Every one of our missionaries are going to have and do have struggles. And they need us in the churches to partnership with them in prayer in those struggles. That's what Paul is directing here. And that's what he's beseeching here. And that's what he's teaching the churches here. And that's what he's asking our church to do with respect to our missionaries. That we strive together. That we partner with our missionaries. And that our prayers would be part of the struggle of the ministry that they are partnering with us in. Verse 31, he says, that I might be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, the churches, may be accepted of the saints. He says, look, pray as you strive together with me, pray that I'll be delivered from them that do not believe, and that my ministry will be acceptable to the church that I'm sent out from. Paul was sent out by the church in Jerusalem. And our missionaries are saying, pray for us that our ministry out here will be acceptable to you back there. Because we are going to be as partners in their ministry. We are a part of that ministry and we are reaping the fruit of their ministries as we uphold them in prayer and as we support them. Paul says, Philippians, I think it is, Paul said to Philippians, with respect to the gift that they had sent him, and he was congratulating them for the gift, Philippians 4:17. He says, not that I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that will abound to your account. You see, as we support our missionaries, as we pray for our missionaries, the fruit that the Lord produces through them comes to our account too. If we're faithful to pray and to give, then we are participants in that regard. Look at the next verse. Paul continues to say here, that I may come unto you with joy. In other words, Paul is saying, when I come back, or when I come to you in joy, I want to be rejoicing. He's speaking to the Romans here. Paul desires to go into Rome. At this point, Paul is writing the church at Rome, but he's never been there. And he's saying to that church at Rome, pray that I'll be able to come to you with joy in anticipation of you receiving my message. We need to pray that way for our missionaries. That as they go out, those to whom they're ministering will receive the message with joy. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 8. And we're rushing here because we do not have a lot of time, but I would challenge you to go back and to look perhaps at some of these verses. Second Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 through 11. For we not, brethren, that you have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even to life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from a great death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us. Paul said, look, there was a time, and of course, we don't have time to read it this morning, this evening, but if you read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26 through 28, Paul itemizes some of the things that he went through. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers. And he talks about the things that he encountered in the ministry. And he says in this verse, or in these verses, at one time he was pressed out of measure, above strength. You know, I'll guarantee you there are times when our missionaries feel that way. They're just pressed beyond measure, beyond their own strength. Paul is saying here, your prayers helped me during those times. And I believe that we need to have a sensitivity to the Spirit of God, that when we sense that our missionary is in trouble, we need to go to our knees for him. When we sense that others in our church are in trouble, we need to go to our knees for him. This verse tells us that our prayers help. Our prayers are a help during that time. And I know that we all desire to help each other. So when we need to be sensitive to the fact that, look, when a family is going through a problem, when a missionary has a need, we should be quick to say, I need to help them. How can I help them? Well, I can help them by praying. Paul is saying that in this passage. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Again, Paul is, in these next verses, is speaking specifically on how to pray. And specifically, these are ways that we can pray for our missionaries. Paul says in Ephesians 6, 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, Paul is saying, don't just pray for everybody else. Remember me. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the ministry of the gospel. Again, Paul is praying for power and for liberty in the proclamation of the gospel. And again, you know, I read the missionary reports, and again, I trust you do, and I read the excitement that I had 18 in church today, and 35, I think our missionaries had in Kenya had 35 last week. It's exciting. They're giving the gospel out. We need to pray, as Paul requests here, that utterance may be given unto them, that they may open their mouth with boldness to make known the mystery of the gospel. We need to pray for each other that way. We need to have that boldness. That we will have, that we'll be given that utterance, that we'll be forward in the giving of the gospel, and that God will make it profitable. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continuing in prayer and watching the same thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open to us a door of utterance to speak. And then he says in verse 4, as I ought to speak. Again, an appeal for prayer, that that door of utterance would be open, and that Paul would have not only the liberty to speak, but the guidance of the Holy Spirit as he does speak. Again, a great way to pray for our missionaries. A great way to pray for each other, that door would be open. Pastor often reminds us that, you know, we need to pray that for the providential leading and guidance and going before of the Holy Spirit as we come in contact with people. And we need to be sensitive to the fact, now, we need to give the gospel even if the door is not open. But there are times when you sense that open door. And I really believe that Paul is saying here, pray that I'll have that open door. We need to pray that our church, as we go out in soul winning, is our missionaries. Certainly, as you pray for Camp Joy, pray for that open door, those open hearts, as they come to the preaching of the Word of God, as people come to church, that hearts would be open, and that utterance, that ability to give forth the gospel, there'd be freedom there. And that those that are delivering the gospel would speak as they ought to speak. That literally the Holy Spirit will put the words and direct them and give not only the liberty, but the direction to say what they ought to say. If you've ever witnessed to any extent, you know that at times, as you're witnessing to people, things will come into your mind that you don't even know you knew, or you didn't remember you remembered. And all of a sudden, you're giving scripture, and you're thinking, "Wow, I didn't know I remembered that verse." Of course, you had memorized it. But at that moment, the Holy Spirit was enabling you to give forth an utterance to speak as you ought to speak, because you were speaking what the Holy Spirit gave you to speak. I spoke to the young people in chapel yesterday, and one thing I challenged them with was, you know what, we've got a great program here for memorization, and I'm excited about our quiz team and the memorization of Scripture. But do you have any idea what your memorizing says? Do you ever think about the scripture you're memorizing? Now, it's great you memorized it, and certainly you're filling up with the Word of God that God can use, and I trust will use later, perhaps many times in your life, as you memorize Scripture. And Scripture will come back that maybe you memorized years ago. That's happened to me on many occasions. Is you have an opportunity to open the Word of God. And my problem is I can't always remember where it was. I remember the Scripture, but I can't always remember where it was. It's nice to have a concordance, but I'm not quick enough with that anymore. But it's good to have that Scripture at your fingertips, so to speak, or the tip of your tongue, and the Holy Spirit brings that to you. And we can certainly say, look, the Bible says clearly this. And here the appeal is not only for the opportunity, the open door, to give the message, but that the message will be delivered by the Spirit of God. Finally, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul says this, I exhort you therefore, first of all, supplications, prayer, and intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now let me just, I'm already over time, but Mrs. Knipple has just ruined my night, but let me just digress here just a minute. Prayer is more than asking and receiving. Now, certainly, there are times I go to prayer and I say, Lord, you must be tired of hearing me asking you for stuff all the time. And I just need to stop and praise and thank you for what you have and are doing in my life. I get embarrassed sometimes that I'm constantly driven to prayer because I've got to ask for something. Come on. I need to praise God and thank God for all that He does and is doing. And this is, Paul is saying that here. We need to remember that prayer is more than just asking. We need to remember to thank God for all He does and is doing. And we need to give Him praise and thanksgiving in our prayers. But notice he says, look, I exhort you therefore that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be for all men, for kings and for all them that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Do we need to pray that today? Do we need to pray for those in authority today to leave us alone, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life and have the freedom and the liberty to worship the God that we love and honor and glorify, desire to glorify with our lives. And our missionaries, I think again of Kenya, and the restrictions that the government has placed on them in many places. You can't even go in and witness because of the authorities. Many of you remember the Mossman's there in Cambodia, and he is attempting to have a missionary effort or a missionary ministry into Muslim countries to encourage Christians that are there under the radar, so to speak, because you can't get missionaries into those countries. And he's got an opportunity to go to Morocco, for example, and to minister to some Christians there. But he'll have to sneak in. We need to pray that the governments of these nations that are Muslim nations, there are, I think, 1,200,000 Muslims. I believe that's the right number. In many of them, buried in countries where missionaries or the ministry of the Word of God cannot with freedom be taken. We need to pray God will open some of those doors and that those in authority will leave our missionaries alone and leave those alone who are attempting to serve God. So as we go to prayer tonight, let's remember some of these challenges that Paul is giving to the churches as, I believe, instruction as to how to pray for missionaries and how to pray for each other. Paul, I think, in these admonitions and these challenges to the churches are telling us and challenging us and instructing us on how we need to pray, and specifically what we need to pray for. So as we go to prayer tonight and we remember our missionaries, let's remember some of these things and let's think of our missionaries and those others in our own church that are ministering the Word of God, our teachers, our pastoral staff, others who are involved in the ministry in any way that they'll have the liberty and the freedom and the boldness and the protection and the perseverance that is needed in order to serve God successfully. Let's pray and then we'll break into our prayer groups. Father, we thank you for your grace and goodness. We thank you for the Word of God, for just the blessing of seeing. Here's a great, great servant of God who has written many books of our Bible. Many of these letters that we have contained in the New Testament epistles were written by this great servant of thine. And how he is pleading to be upheld in prayer. And how we need to be faithful to uphold those who are serving you and who desire to serve you, as we pray even tonight and from now on, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's break up.